get settled and prepared to worship as we read this. It probably wouldn't take any one of us much time to make a list of our personal concerns about ourselves and our families, not to mention the way we wonder, what is the world coming to? Fortunately, our pen can also be applied to paper to make a list of the things we cherish and look forward to celebrating. If we think of the worst thing that can happen, may we counterbalance that with the very best thing that we expect and move toward that positive. The new year has begun. It may not be as easy anymore for many of us to get on our knees or up off of them, but we can get on our knees in our hearts and in our minds to the one who loves us more than we can begin to imagine. May the happy new year continue for each of us as we focus on our Lord and King.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Did you ever wonder why it is that Christians worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, rather than any other day? This may have become traditional due to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. For whatever reason we congregate to worship on Sundays, it remains wonderful to gather here. Welcome to everyone participating this morning, with a special welcome, to Pastor Schwartz. And Barbie will be joining us, I understand. Oh, she just arrived. Welcome, welcome. And also to Stephanie Sporer at the piano today. Stephanie, go ahead, we'll let you do that. Stephanie will be playing for us at least once a month. We're very excited about that. She grew up in Milford. She has three girls and a boy, all under the ages of 11. Did I get that right? She's a busy mama. So we are very pleased to have Stephanie. So introduce yourselves to her later. And just one quick thing, we will be having soup suppers during Lent, just soup and dessert probably, and there'll be more to follow after that. So let's take a chance to pass the peace. Oh, I'm sorry, Dean. Did you put it in the bulletin? No, but we're going to count on you to do that. Wednesday night, the third Wednesday of the month. Yep. Okay. And it'll be potluck. Okay, thank you very much. Let's pass the peace.
What? At all.
No, we don't either.
Ready?
All right, if you'd like to have a seat, we will proceed with our worship.
Is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. I will exalt you, O God, my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no end to his greatness. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your power. We gather to bring praise to our God. May we continue it forever.
Bye.
responsive reading comes from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust.
Who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods?
Many, O Lord, my God, are one like your feet have not.
Please join me as we pray. Lord, as we get older, most of us don't think of ourselves as children, but we were reminded last week that as your children, we are made in your image. We then make the choice of how we will represent your image to all others. Help us to stay strong in you and the way you would have us go, so we will be encouraging examples to each other and to all who are seeking you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Pastor Schwartz.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. So good to be here. I was greeted so warmly by so many people. A really loving congregation here, and maybe it's because I'm the preacher, but I see you doing that to other people too, so that's a good thing. I wanted to say a couple things before I get started here. We're going to be going through a passage in John 1, if you want to find your place in that. I think in the bulletin there's also a printout there. The letters are kind of small. It's not a large print convenience today, so you might want to go to your own Bible or whatever. But I wanted to say a couple things. Number one, I'm from the Okoboji Bible Conference Ministries. I'm the executive director there, and boy, we got some really good stuff going on right now. Looking forward to the new conference that'll come up this year. We got every spot filled, which last year at this time, I don't think we had but one or two spots filled because it was a transition year and so forth. But we're really looking forward to having some amazing speakers that that come from all over, and they've been vetted, and they're tried and true, ready to go. And then we have some great, we're going to have a gospel concert on the first night of the conference this year. So you want to look forward to that. It's going to be a great, great group that's going to be coming in, and we'll let you know. I'm not sure if I can let you know yet, because you know, the company put the thumb on me for a while before I get the news out. And I'm always wanting to share good news, so how do you hold on to good news? And so that's coming up. Barbie actually stepped in a little late today. And my wife, because she was actually playing the drums for Good News Community Church this morning. That's the church that we attend. And, I joked with her about this when she first had this idea about playing drums. And next thing I asked her was, when do you get your Harley and your leather jacket and so forth and stuff like that? Well, that wasn't very funny to Barbie because she was serious about playing the drums. But you'll have to talk to her about that. She's taking lessons right now from Gary Lambert, and she just has a gift in music. She plays the harp, she plays the guitar, she plays the piano, she plays me all the time. I'm not sure what that means, but anyway, she's very musical, and so now she's playing the drums, something she always wanted to do when she was a kid. And it wasn't that her parents kind of steered her away from that. It's just that, you know, in those days you didn't have money. You had to buy a drum set, and it's probably loud and obnoxious when you're practicing and so forth. But she's really has a gift, and literally within just months, she's able to play in a praise band and stuff like that. So anyway, so she doesn't only harp on me at home. She also, anyway, you fill in the blanks. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she'll have something else to drum on. No, I'm teasing. It's all in fun. So actually what happened was I was joking with her a lot, and it wasn't funny to her. And I'm sarcastic, and I can be sarcastic. I think I've got a doctorate degree in sarcasm. And so at one point she says, you know, this isn't funny to me. I really want to do this. I was like, oh, and then I felt like, you know, I went from big, tough man to about that big. And we happened to be in Nashville, and we went to the Grand Ole Opry. We got a chance to go to the, anybody ever been to the Grand Ole Opry? It's quite a place, quite a neat place to go to, and they have concerts every night. And so we went to one of the concerts. So in the middle of the concert, they have a intermission time. So I went into the lobby of the Grand Ole Opry, and they're, you know, they're selling you stuff. It's a tourist trap type thing. And they had drumsticks there. So I bought her a pair of drumsticks, or gave two drumsticks, and I presented it to her at the Grand Ole Opry and said, I know this is your dream, and you're excited about that. And so that I kind of, I'm back. The relationship's good now again, and we're good, so forth. I'm talking today about the ABCs of reaching out. And this isn't just a sermon that I dusted off that I had in the past. I really thought through this and processed through this because I know that this next weekend, we have one of the biggest weekends of the year with Winter Games. And I also found out this morning that there could be up to 40,000 new people will come this next weekend. All the restaurants will reopen, and there'll be a lot of excitement, lots of activity, lots of people that are in this area. And so I wanted to kind of prime the pump a little bit and help you and me to know that we do have visitors coming to our area. And the number one thing that God calls us to is to reach out to other people and tell them about Jesus Christ. It's our number one responsibility as Christians. Isn't that interesting? Our number one responsibility is to reach out to people and to share the good news of the gospel with other people. And yet, we all know that. And yet many of us go through our entire lives never doing that. And I'm not putting you down. I'm a pastor. I'm trained in five different forms of evangelism. And it's still difficult to do that from time to time. So I thought I would share with you a passage today that comes out of John chapter 1, verse 35 through 41. And it's a great passage. I'll do this later. I always put notes in here to remind me to do something. So, well, I'll just do it now that I made mention of it. I'm going to be here on February 1st again, and that message is going to be called "What's the Most Important Thing?" I'd encourage you to bring some friends to that. If you have somebody, you know, we're talking about reaching out. I'll give you a way to do that today. A real practical message, and then not just on February 1st, but even next Sunday. And maybe there's somebody you can invite to the service next week, and it's another way that we can reach out for people. So anyway, let's get back to John chapter 1. Let me just have I know you've already prayed, Becky, but I'm going to just say a prayer that God would bless this time, the Holy Spirit would speak, because I'm just another guy. But when God speaks to us, it really makes a difference. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence and be with you today, and some powerful hymns that we sang today, that you would be our vision, and it's your world, and we walk with you, and you direct our path. And so, Lord, we just ask for that today. We ask that you would speak to us. Your Holy Spirit's presence would be felt here, and the words that are spoken would resonate on our very hearts, would resonate on our very souls as we think and ponder this next week and as we go forward in this new year. We pray, God, that you would speak to us. You are so good, and we just pray that you would be here and do it once again. Speak to us, and then give us the courage to respond to what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always exciting for me to be able to share the Word of God, and I love the fact that you have that banner back there that says anchored in the Word. I love that. Whose idea was that? That was a great idea, and it just shows that who this church is that we're anchored in God's Word. So listen to God's Word, John chapter 1, starting with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. This is John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus passing by, now just kind of picture this, kind of back up a little bit from about, 20,000 feet or whatever. Just kind of look down, peer down, and watch what's going on in this setting. The next day, John was there again, John the Baptist, kind of peer down to what's going on with two of his disciples. So he was discipling people. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said this. This is some of the most remarkable words in the whole New Testament. It says, look, or behold, the Lamb of God. Now, you got to understand the context of this. The context is the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Lamb of God. John the Baptist was set out to stand and to prepare the way for the Lord to come. So when he said this, this is big news. This is incredible news. Behold, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Of course they did. If they're going to be disciples of John, why wouldn't they go to the big man, the one they were waiting for, the Messiah, the Lamb of God? And this is verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following. This is so great. He turns around. Jesus saw them following. And he asks, what do you want? I just think this is comical. You're like these two guys that are waiting for the Messiah, and it's all, you think it's all spiritual, and they're walking like, I get this picture like the disciples are walking around like this. They're like, there he is. It's like seeing a celebrity, and you see, like some baseball player, football player, you see him, and you just want to get near him. You want to see what's going on. So Jesus turns around, says, what do you want? Like, it's a little awkward. Who are you people? So you get what I'm saying there? What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher. Where are you staying? Kind of an awkward question. Where are you staying? And then he says, come and you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. What would your life be like if you spent the day with Jesus? In fact, I think that that's the actual most important phrase in this whole passage, is they spent the day with Jesus. Because what you see after that, and what I'm going to talk about this morning, is the precursor to learning how to reach out to other people. Our very motivation, our very excitement, our very passion to reach out to other people for Jesus is because we know who the King is and we spend time with him daily. And he motivates us and he challenges us to reach out to other people. What would it be like if you spent a day with Jesus? In fact, I'm wondering if some of us would even put a day in our schedules for Jesus. We might bring him over for coffee and, spend a few hours with him or minutes with him and then get back to our work. But can you imagine, would you give Jesus a day? Will you give Jesus a day? Do you ever give Jesus a day where you spend time with him? And it says it was about the 10th hour, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard. So it was one of them was Andrew that was with John the Baptist, heard what John had said, and then they followed Jesus. So Andrew was the key figure in this passage. And then the first thing Andrew did was to find, after he spent a day with Jesus, was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, this is epic. Jesus looked at Simon, and who knows if he had met Simon before, he saw Simon before. Obviously, he was God incarnate, so he would have known who Simon was. But he says to Simon, at their first meeting, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. So that's what the passage of Scripture says. So let me just make a couple comments here. Now, what happens as we read this scripture? What happens when Andrew leaves Jesus? What's the first thing that he does? It says that he goes and he gets his brother. He was so full of excitement. He was just ready to explode. Simon, you got to see. I met the Messiah. You got to come and see him. You got to come and meet Jesus. Why did he feel that way? Because he spent a day with Jesus. He learned it. What do you do in a day? How much time? What do you talk about in a day? I'm sure Jesus was very interesting to talk to, and I'm sure that they were saying, hey, where are you from? And all the questions that you would ask him, and then maybe it got deeper and deeper and deeper, and Andrew's soul got fuller and fuller and fuller. He had been looking for the Messiah. Now he's here. He had seen him, heard him. He was blessed by him. So what's he going to do? He ran home, found his brother Simon, and cried out, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. You got to come see him. Andrew brings Simon, to his brother, older brother, to Jesus. That feeling is so powerful that you want to share this knowledge with others. And maybe you've been to a church service, or maybe you've been spending time in the Word and you've spent time with Jesus and you've been motivated in the same way to go do something and to go tell somebody about that information. So today I want to give you some real practical handles on how we can bring people to Jesus. I'll give you sort of a formula. I'm not a big person on turning the Christian life into formulas, but today I'm going to give you a formula that will be easy for you to remember. You'll always remember this. In fact, when I preached this sermon probably 25 years ago, I have people that still remember this ABCs, available, bold, contagious. And not that I did anything, but it's memorable. It's something you can remember. So the first thing that I'm going to talk to about in the ABCs of reaching out is the A, and the A stands for available. Can you say available? I believe that God rarely looks, by the way, for strong, gifted, confident, polished, remarkable people. I believe God looks for people like you and me that are simply available for the task that he calls us to. We're just available. He's not looking for people with ability. He's looking for people with availability. You know, we think, well, we got to go to seminary. We got to read the Bible. I don't know enough about the Bible. He doesn't care. He just wants to know, are you available? By the way, Andrew at that point, he hadn't been to seminary. Probably wasn't a lot of schooling that he was involved in. He was a fisherman, probably not very educated, but he was available to God. I'm not saying that you can't be strong. I'm not saying that you can't be gifted. I'm not saying you can't be confident or polished or remarkable to be used by God. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that all of those qualities don't really matter to God as much as the fact that we're willing to be available. You tell God you're available, he will use you. You just make your life available. Say, Lord, I got time. What do you want? He will intersect with you, and he will challenge you, and he'll give you things that he possibly wants you to do. By the way, you might want to write this down. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. If you got to think about that, that's why I wanted you to write it down. He doesn't call the qualified. He isn't looking for the next seminary student or the next bright person in your church that maybe knows a lot about the Bible. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, the ones that are available. Now, Simon Peter, who was brought to Jesus by Andrew, became a great preacher and a pillar of the church. Of course, Andrew didn't know that was going to happen. He was just calling his brother. And I'm sure that as a younger brother, he respected his brother. But Peter was probably kind of mean to his younger brother, if you know what I'm talking about. If you have an older brother or younger brother, you understand the sibling rivalry and how the younger brothers will, or the older brothers will kick their younger brothers, so to speak, in the head and tease them and all that kind of stuff. But Andrew didn't know that he was going to be who he was. He didn't know that he was going to be the pillar of the church. He was going to be called the rock of this new movement of God. So when we win someone to Christ, or when we bring someone to Christ, we never know who we're talking to. We don't know who we're spending time with. We could be sharing Christ with the next Billy Graham for all we know. We could be sharing Christ with the next Dr. Dobson, or the next governor of the state, or the next national hero, or the next great missionary, or the next leader in science and medicine. We don't know who we're spending time with. In this passage, we notice something very profound. We notice that Andrew had no special training for his task. We also notice that he's never been to seminary. He had never read a book or a personal witnessing, you know, book on how to share Christ with other people. He didn't read any of that stuff. Andrew just knew that Jesus, what he had done for him, and he wanted his brother to know him as well. He spent time with Jesus. Simon did not hear any, by the way, Simon didn't hear any great sermons. He didn't see any mighty miracles. He wasn't convinced by powerful reasoning. Now get this. The simple testimony of a warm-hearted brother was the first link in the chain which brought the big fisherman out of the world and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Simple as that. So my question to all of us here, including myself, is are we ready and available to God to reach others for Christ? It's our responsibility. It's the mandate we all have. Our number one purpose in life is to share Christ, to share Jesus with other people. Are you ready for that? Will you be available for that? Because I think there's a lot of gifted people, a lot of people that know a lot about evangelism. They know how to talk to people. They're really good at it. But rarely do they ever make themselves available to reach other people for the gospel. Are you available, or am I available to God to invite someone simply to church next week? I mean, you don't have to do anything. The church does it for you. They share the gospel for you. Now, God wants us to share the gospel, but what about next week? Could you bring someone, maybe in your neighborhood, somebody that might be here for winter games? Hopefully this church is twice as full. You know why? Because you invited someone to come. It's just one simple task that you can do. So A stands for being available and ready to be used. The second letter is B. And B stands for being bold. Can you say bold? Say it again. Bold. I understand how hard it is to be bold about our Christian faith. I understand. I've been, you know, since 1979, I've been walking with Jesus. And it's not the easiest thing to be bold. There's opportunities, you know. You get the same opportunities I have when you're with people and talking to people, but it's hard to be bold. It's hard to say something. We don't want to offend them or you know, oh, they'd never be into Jesus. Oh, come on. We get those things. It's difficult to share our faith. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're ashamed. Sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're unable to share because we don't know our life is all that great. And we're not walking with Jesus in the right way. Well, all of those are valid feelings, but I would like to encourage you today to be bold. To step outside of your comfort zone and be bold. I mean, what else? What could it possibly do? What, is it going to kill you? To just be bold? To just share about Jesus? I mean, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Why wouldn't we share that with other people? Are we satisfied that people are going to walk away from this life into eternal damnation? And they're not going to be in the presence of God and live what we get to live in heaven. There's a song that came out long, many years ago at Promise Keepers. It was a men's fellowship many, many years ago. It went for about 25, 30 years, and men just came from all over, and it was a discipleship tool that God used to really challenge men. And men, even though they run businesses and they're confident and they can do all kinds of things, when it comes to spiritual things, you know, many times you see men standing in the corner with their heads down, like, I'm not comfortable here, it's awkward. And in Promise Keepers, what it was starting to do, it was starting to encourage men to be bold. And when they're in their businesses, they were bringing Jesus into their businesses. into their relationships. They were bringing Jesus into those relationships. And they did this song. Now, I'm going to try to sing it, so don't laugh at me. I'm not a singer, but I like this tune. It says, the first part is hard. It says, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with me. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with me. Now, that's a powerful song. You think of the lyrics. Be bold. Be strong. Why? Not because you're strong. Not because you're bold. But the Lord thy God is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. We're all afraid, right? If we really were honest, we're all afraid. It's like, okay, I'm good. I can sit in church. I can listen to a sermon. But don't ask me to do anything. Walk in faith and victory. Walk in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God is with thee. He walks with you everywhere that you go. So I want to encourage you boldly to be, for you today, to I would like to encourage you today and tell you that God is with you in everything that you do, everything that you say. He's going to walk by your side so you can be bold. Therefore, be bold, be strong, and reach out to others for Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed or discouraged, for God is with you. So be available. Number two, be bold. And number three, be contagious. Contagious, not hesitating or fearful in the face of danger. The C stands for contagious. Can you say contagious? We're not only called to be available and bold, we're also called to be contagious. This means that we allow our love for God and our enthusiasm for Christ to overflow to others so that they can be infected by our example. Have you ever been around somebody that's super infectious? They have an infectious personality, and you want to have that, so you want to be around those people. You kind of, you know, it's just fun to be there. It's funny, I was going to say this earlier, but Jan Mills, how many knew Jan Mills? Several of you here know Jan. Jan's son, Jeff Mills, is sitting in about the middle there. He's the one with his head down, like, shut up. No, he's got his fingers up now. All right. He's a football coach at Iowa State, and then you know what happened at Iowa State this year. The coach left, and the whole program has kind of shifted. And he's been shifting now, but that's Jeff Mills, Jan's son, and then Lauren, his girlfriend, and his two kids, her two kids, Gretchen and Nora, are there, and then sitting by Barbie there. So the reason I bring that up is that I wanted to introduce them, and maybe you can talk to them afterwards. I know they're heading back home today, but Jan's husband, Jay, I don't know, some of you knew Jay, some of you didn't know Jay. Did you know Jay? Jay was quite a, you didn't know Jay. Well, Jay was quite an amazing man. He was one of these infectious personalities. He was one of these man's man. And he was awesome. I call him, even to this day, I called him my coach. He was a coach. He was a football coach, insurance salesman. But he was a man of influence. He had influence wherever he went. And the way I've always described him is we always have a Bible study. And men's Bible study, and we'd have, I don't know, 15 guys who were at this Bible study. It was, I think it was on Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was great, and men were growing, and we're singing songs and going to Promise Keepers, and men were, you know, uniting in fellowship and all that kind of stuff. It was a great thing. I was the pastor of Good News Community Church some years ago, and we met in my office. And Jay was the kind of guy that, you know, even in his late 50s and 60s, he would work out. I mean, he was He was so fit. I've never met anybody like that. He lifted weights, and he taught me how to lift weights because I didn't know how, and told me where to breathe and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he would come to the Bible study, and he'd always be fashionably late. But every time he would walk in, it's like the level of excitement went up because everybody started giving him a hard time, and he'd give it right back. And it just was one of those guys that just, he raised the temperature. And that's what, he was contagious. You wanted to hang around with him. You wanted to, you know, and he was always, you know, I remember one time at church, we were at Mahana Auditorium. Anybody know where that's at? It's the old auditorium at Spirit Lake. It was the theater that they had years ago, even before my time. And that's where we met in the wintertime because they had heat. And we didn't have a building that had heat, and we were a new church plant and so forth. And so to get to the fellowship time, you had to go down this long hallway and then another long hallway, and that's where the coffee was. So I remember one day, this is Jay, and contagious Jay, that's why I'm bringing him up. He says to me, he says, you know, Pastor, we got problems. And I'm like, you know, I don't like to hear problems on Sunday morning. I just don't. Tell me Monday morning, I'm fine. But he's just as serious as can be saying, we got problems. I'm like, what, Jay? And he's like, this whole coffee situation, I mean, the coffee's just too far away. I mean, how do you have a fellowship when you got to walk that far? And he's just doubling down on this and going deeper, deeper and deeper. And I'm like, you're out of your, I'm starting to think, you're out of your mind. I mean, that's the best we can do. What are you talking about? Like, I'm going to start getting defensive with him and stuff like that. And as soon as he got me riled up enough, he gives me this little crooked smile and goes, I'm just kidding. Grab him by the neck. You know, but he's the kind of guy, and that's the kind of contagious, you know, I was listening to him because I respected him because he had this contagious personality. And I believe that we need to, as Christians, if there's anybody that should live with all of the fruits of the Spirit, it ought to be us Christians. Have we been infected with joy? Have we been infected with love? Have we been infected with peace? Are you infected with patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Shouldn't that be the mark of who we are as Christians? How many of us have been infected by that? And if you have been affected by that, then you will become very attractive and contagious to other people. I mean, just take one. Just take the word joy. I believe that one of the hallmarks of a Christian ought to be that we live in joy. You said that in your opening comments, and welcome. That can we change the tune? Can we figure out a way to show the joy of the Lord to other people? And by the way, how you get infected by this is what I talked about earlier, when you can spend time with Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings the joy. The Holy Spirit brings joy in our lives. And so we're not always having our head down or being frustrated with everything that's going on in the world today. We live in a different reality as Christians because we trust in the Lord. He walks with us. He's going to change us. He's going to transform us. And so my question to you and to me is, have you been infected? And are you contagious? Because you know how that works. If you get infected with a disease, what, they put you in a room and say, don't be around other people, because you might get the same disease. But the disease isn't a disease at all. It's an ease. We get to make people's lives easier because of faith and because of joy and love and peace and patience and kindness. You ever been around somebody that has joy? I remember one time I was at our church in California. I was in Lakewood, California, and we had a choir that came in. I think they were from either Northwestern College in Orange City or Dort College. It was one of the two colleges. And there was like 30 young adults at this choir, and they're all young. And you think anyone would smile? I mean, they're talking about how Jesus changed their life and all these songs that we sang today, and it's like, mur, 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 and I'm like, what? This doesn't compute. There's something wrong. They weren't contagious at all. But see, we're contagious and infected with something that is going to benefit the world with the fruits of the Spirit and the salvation that is offered by Jesus Christ. We too have an opportunity to be contagious. We too have an opportunity to share with others the excitement in our Christian life. We too can share how God works in our lives, and we can show people what victories we have. It doesn't mean that your life has to be perfect. It doesn't mean that your life has to have no problems in it, because it will have problems. And yet in the midst of those problems, we have someone that walks with us and gets us through those problems and challenges us to be more trusting towards our great King and Savior and Messiah, the one that offers salvation. And we can share that with the world. We too can choose to be contagious, spreading the good news from person to person, from brother to brother, from sister to sister, from friend to friend. God calls us. This is God's call in our lives. It's never changed. It's always been the plan. It's always been the playbook that Christians are to share the good news of the gospel with other people. So if you want to reach out to people, I want to encourage you to be available, number one step, and then be bold, and then just live your life. Be contagious to other people. So I'm going to do something different this morning as we close. I just want you to, if you can do this or not, I mean, I'm not going to force anybody to do anything, but if you want to close your eyes and just say, Lord, what are you saying to me today? Just in your own private little space where you're at, what is God saying to you today? I'll just pause for like 30 seconds. What does he want you to do? How does he want you to respond to what you heard today? Just take like 30 seconds for that. So, Lord, like Andrew in this amazing story, help us to be available. Help us to carve out time in our schedule to be available to do what you call us to do. And then, Lord, give us boldness. We don't have to hammer anyone over the head with a hammer or the Bible. But help us to be bold and to talk about the one that saved us, the one that has given us eternal life, the one that has given us abundant life. Help us to be bold. And then, Lord, help us to be contagious. Help us to spend time with you. Give us a day. Give us an hour. Give us a moment where we can learn from you and spend time with you. And then, Lord, give us an opportunity to be invitational and invite someone into a relationship with Jesus, or just simply invite someone to church. Invite someone to hear the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do in our lives, and we pray that whatever you've called us to do, now we'd have the courage to do it. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Schwarz, you need to know that we are grateful to God for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread. Forgive us our debts.
And I invite you to stand for the Apostles' Creed, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of life, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our benediction today is very few, but I think very powerful words attributed to Christian author R.C. Sproul. It is not about the nature of sin. It is about the nature of God. Go in peace and serve the Lord.